Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Katie Presti. Katie is a Navy veteran and founder of Boots on the Ground Coffee, and she's here to discuss her time in the Navy and what led her to create her company. But first, welcome to the show, Katie. Really glad to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So maybe we can start off with a little bit of an introduction. I know I just talked a little bit about you there, but for folks that might not be familiar with you, could you tell us about your background and your journey as a Navy veteran? What inspired you to join the Navy, some of your experiences, that type of stuff during the service?
Okay, yeah. I joined in 2011. I was in for 10 years. I was stationed in Hawaii, Italy, and Washington State. I did three deployments on destroyers and traveled all over the world. In Italy, I was shore duty there, so I did a lot of personal traveling on my deployments. I have seen literally almost the entire world, so there's not a lot I haven't seen. I'm from Wisconsin. Okay. I don't remember what the rest was. I think that's it.
Okay, yeah, no, that's fine. No, and so one of the things I think with a lot of service members, one of the things that the recruiters always try to say is you get to go see the world, and especially in the Navy, you're on these ships and you're going to from port to port, and you get to go around. And I sometimes wonder, like, how much time do you actually get in some of these ports? Is it a significant amount of time that you're like when you're out at sea and you're stopping at different places? I know it's not like a civilian cruise where you're just going and you're going for the day and you're sightseeing and then you're coming back to the ship or whatever. I'm sure you're there for at least a few days, whatever it is that you're doing there. What is that like when you get into port and do you have time that you can go off onto shore and kind of explore on your own, or are you pretty much confined to the ship for a lot of it? A tree branch hit a power line in Ohio in 2003 and it shut down 21 power plants, and around 100 people died. We have a power grid that was designed in the 1800s. Even the White House sees it. They're saying two-thirds of the grid are at least 25 years old, so they've recently announced billions of dollars to update it. And how long do you think it'll take to actually do? That's why having your own solar power is more important than ever. With the Patriot Power Generator, you'll get a solar generator that doesn't install into your house because it's portable. You can take it with you, even use it inside. But it's powerful enough for your phones, medical devices, or even your fridge. And right now you can go to 4patriots.com and use code DRIVEON to get 10% off your first purchase of anything in the store, including the Patriot Power Generator. You'll also get their famous guarantee for an entire year after your order, plus free shipping on orders over $97, and a portion of every sale is donated to charities who support our veterans and their families. So just go to 4patriots.com and use code DRIVEON to get 10% off. Again, that's 4patriots.com. Use code DRIVEON to get yours today.
It depends on where you are and really what your job is. So I was a cook, so we had really weird hours. So sometimes I was able to go out as soon as we pulled in and have however much time, until liberty expiration. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I had to wait hours until I was able to go do anything. And sometimes we're only in port for a day, so you can't even go out and do anything anyways.
Sure.
So you can be in from anywhere from like less than 24 hours to, I think we were in Norway for like 2 weeks, but we ended up getting extended for the second week, which was really awesome. Norway at Christmas time was beautiful.
I'm sure.
So
that's cool.
It just depends what you're doing. So
yeah. And some of the places that you go to, you mentioned Italy and, I know there's other places around. It's just like, I'd love to travel there anyway. So yeah, that would be totally awesome. Although it would be a bit of a tease if you're pulling into port and, You know, it's this place that you've always wanted to go to, and it's like, oh yeah, we're only going to be here for a day, so you can't leave. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Crap. You know,
I feel like going there on deployments makes it much more comfortable when you need to travel, like, not with the military, not necessarily alone. I've only traveled alone once. It was an amazing time because you don't have to rely on what somebody else wants to do and try to make everybody like, no, go by yourself. Sure. It's an amazing time. Ireland by yourself is fantastic. But I feel like hitting ports with the Navy has made me much more comfortable. Like, oh, hey, I think I'll go on a trip overseas to some random country that I don't think civilians are just like, oh, I think I'm just going to pack up and leave today.
Right, right. Yeah. So. I mean, most people wouldn't even think of doing that. But when you get to experience so many different places and I'm imagining different cultures and different, you know, just different experiences all over the place, you're much more comfortable with that. Now, so you said you're in from 2011, which coincidentally is the year that I got out, 2011 and through 2021, right? So,
yeah.
So that was a relatively recent transition out of the military.
Yes. Sometimes
that can be challenging. How did that transition work out for you? Any particular obstacles that you encountered?
It was hard. So my husband is still in. He's stationed in Great Lakes. And I'm from Wisconsin. So Great Lakes is in Illinois. So mm-hmm. I was like, I'll just go home. Mom can have fun with her grandson and I will have all of the help. So while we were looking for a place for me to live, because we didn't know if we were going to rent, buy, there was just so many different options of what we could do. I went and lived with my mom for 10 months. And I don't recommend living. I don't like living with people because then you just get irritated of them.
Sure.
I'm so grateful that I was able to do it. But the hardest part was having somebody there constantly. Like in the military, you're surrounded by people, but you're by yourself. Even if you're with your friends, like you're doing your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But having like family there to be like, oh yeah, what are you doing today? Oh, what did you do? And I'm like, okay, get out of my business.
Sure.
It was very difficult. It sounds really stupid, but that was probably the hardest part, was having somebody constantly there asking questions.
Yeah. Oh, let me tag along too with whatever it is that you have going on today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine that. So that transition you said was a little bit difficult. You did have some help from family, which
yes.
You know, could be a blessing in disguise a little bit, right? I mean, it could be a bit of a you know, a curse at times too, maybe. You know, if it's mm-hmm. You know, too overbearing. You know, anything in particular that was difficult as far as that transition went, and how did you kind of overcome any of the difficulties?
I hired a life coach.
Okay.
To help me, because I was like, I don't know what is happening to me. I was so angry. I'm like, I am angry. I'm frustrated. I'm irritable. I'm like, I don't understand. And I was like, I just feel like eyes were on me. And I'm like, okay. I was like, this is too much. So I hired somebody to like, I think it was like a month long course or something with them. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's not just me. Like, cool.
Sure.
And I found out that it's common for this to happen when people get out. I was like, I had no idea. Somebody could have warned me because I thought I was crazy.
Well, you know, that's one of those things that I would think when people are transitioning out, I know they have like, you know, TAPS and they have, you know, stuff like that to kind of help, but it's almost like drinking from a fire hose. Like you get so much information thrown at you at once. And it's like, there's no way you're going to retain all of it. You know, they may even mention something like that during, you know, some classes like that. And it's like, yeah I'm going to remember that along with the 57 other things you just told me. Like, no, it's not going to happen.
Actually had a weird transitioning out period.
Okay.
So what branch were you? Army?
Army, yeah.
Yeah. So I heard that the Army is way better for families than the Navy is. And I know some people are family people and they're very successful, but I think I was at the wrong command for that.
No. Okay.
Because I didn't have a family care plan. So I essentially got honorably discharged or involuntary separation because I didn't have somebody to watch my son while I deployed, because me and my husband weren't married yet.
Okay.
And he's an RDC. He works from 3 a.m. to 11 p.m. So.
Wow.
I don't know how he's going to watch a child. I mean, sure. People do it, but.
But that's difficult, right? And yeah, you know, so go ahead.
So I knew that essentially they were going to be kicking me out. And I was like, all right, well, I need to take TAPS classes. And they're like, well, since you don't have a date that you're getting out, like you can't go to the class yet. It was just this whole thing. So I ended up doing it online, like at my own pace.
Okay.
And I retained no information, none, because I did everything online. And I got a 10-day letter that's like, hey, here's your separation orders. In 10 days, you're done. Wow. So I had 10 days to, because you can't move your household goods. You can't go plan any of that until you have like a date that you're supposed to be out. So like in those 10 days, I had to do so much stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
And moving, like you said, moving your household goods, like that's, mm-hmm. that's a lot of stuff to move sometimes. Like,
yeah.
I mean, and you know, packing it all, getting a mover to get you out of there to go someplace mm-hmm. else. And, on short notice like that in 10 days, I mean, that's a week and a half. Like
having to stay in Washington an extra month.
Okay.
Because that's when the movers could come. And I'm like, no, you need to pick it up this date because we're trying to sell this house.
Sure.
Which was a stupid idea because we're going back to Washington now and house prices are through the fucking roof. I'm like, oh, what did we do? But
right,
that's
right.
A different story.
So, I mean, transitioning is difficult for a lot of people. Did you even have time to like come up with a game plan of like what were you going to do after getting out as far as, you know, work or were you planning on staying at home with your child or what was that like?
I ended up getting out in September and around February timeframe, I started planning like, okay, well, if this actually happens, like I know that I don't want to work for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was talking to my mom about it. And I don't know if you've ever been to Washington. I don't know where you're from, but they have the little like coffee stands everywhere, like every corner, just a little. And I love them so much.
Mm-hmm.
I just love them. So I bought a coffee trailer.
Okay.
And I did that for a year. And I knew that we were going to be moving next year. So I sold it to my sister because I needed to sell it and she wanted it. So I recently sold that.
Perfect.
But that's what I did for the first a year or whatever. And okay. I could make my own hours. I could stay home if my kid was sick, like things like that. So,
mm-hmm.
And now I don't have to leave the house if I don't want to.
Which is nice. I mean, if you don't want to, I mean, that you have that option, right?
Yes.
And so is that kind of what sparked the idea for Boots on the Ground Coffee and how you got into that?
Sort of, yeah. I was on the coffee trailer and I was like, I don't even know how it popped in my head, but I was like, I know that when I deployed, the first thing that I put on my list that I needed to have was coffee and a French press. And I would go get like the little short Yeti mugs or the little like stumpy hydro flasks. And I'm like, something that can take a beating
mm-hmm.
and not tip over every time the ship rolls.
Right.
So, and that's like the first thing I would get. And I'm like, how cool would it be to do like a deployment crate and offer that to people like all in one place? Like, yeah, you could go to the Next or the PX or whatever and get the ship, but like I could set it up in a way where we would donate back to organizations. And I'm like, well, I don't want to pick just any organization. So I decided to do military and veteran organizations.
Sure.
So, and we're working on deployment boxes. I'm waiting for my cups to come in. And then I think I'll be ready to launch that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I know when I deployed to Afghanistan, that was one of the first things on my list too, was yes. I need a way to make coffee and the coffee itself. And if you can send some sort of, even if I don't care if it's powdered, you know, like cream, sugar, yeah. you know, that type of stuff,
all
send all that.
That's a good idea.
Send all that stuff
too.
Oh,
like
it was actually really good. So my wife went out. She bought like bags of like all sorts of different bags of coffee. It was just a variety. It was everything from Starbucks to Dunkin' Donuts to you mm-hmm. know, like just a variety of everything. And she sent it out, and it was more than I could drink. So it, like everyone got to mm-hmm. share in it, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And actually, she sent me like a legit like coffee maker with the pot, like the whole thing. And so I was brewing like full pots of coffee for everybody, mm-hmm. Which was actually nice because, you know, a lot of times we'd have, you know, guard duty at night and people were, up overnight. I'd be, going around to just check on them, make sure everything's mm-hmm. going all right. And I'd bring them coffee when we're up there. So it was just like a nice thing to have. Yes. Even though it
definitely
was
definitely a morale booster.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Even though it was 120 degrees, outside, sometimes I still wanted to have it and I didn't really care how hot it was. It was just that little piece of home that I wanted. So this kind of deployment box, like you were talking about, is a really good idea. I think that would be something that would have probably made life easier for my wife to, get all of that stuff to me and a one-stop shop.
I will pack them up, ship them out to whoever it needs to be shipped out to. So it's not like the family member or friend or whoever is sending it out needs to handle all of that stuff. They literally would just go on my website as soon as the deployment boxes are on there, pick what they want in it. I will pack it up and send it out.
That's perfect. And I know, so
I'm so excited for it.
and just kind of selling this idea even a little bit more for the listeners out there. So just a story from my wife. So we had just had a child before I deployed. He was a month and a half, 2 months or so old when I deployed to Afghanistan. And she was first time mother, first time with a kid. Now she's by herself with this kid, and I'm writing home like a jerk asking her for coffee and shit like that. And so she goes out and she gets all this stuff and she packs up in a box and she's trying to bring it into the post office to send it with a stroller. And she's carrying this big giant thing in the stroller and nobody's opening the door for her at the post office. Like, she's struggling. She's like, what do I do? Yeah. Thank you. So she finally gets into the door. I forget if someone actually held it for her, if she figured out how to prop it open, whatever. And then she had to fill out all like the customs forms and all the paperwork and all that crap. And she's like, she's never filled out that stuff before. And it's like just one thing after another. And she was just so fed up with it that anytime she was going to send anything else throughout the deployment, she said she was going to pack one big box that's going to last me a month. And then, not have to worry about it again. So I can totally see this as like such a great idea, especially for someone who just wants to get the stuff there, doesn't need to go through all the hassle of packing and the customs forms and the paperwork and all that other crap that you don't really want to deal with. Mm-hmm. I mean, having that service there, I think is great. And coffee is such, like you said, it was such a big morale booster for people. It really helps. And it helps a whole lot more than when we got sent chocolate. I don't know if you've ever, okay. I'm guessing you've probably seen some care packages that had melted chocolate all over it.
Christmas boxes of candy. And I'm like, yeah, cool. But some of these people could use some deodorant.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, and even
coffee,
and even but with the chocolate, like, we would get it and it would be melted and it would melt all over everything inside the box. So everything is covered in sticky chocolate now. So even if there was deodorant in there, it's like, now it's covered in chocolate and it's like, now we got to go wash it off. And it was just, it was a pain in the ass. It was a nice thought, but coffee ships a whole lot better. So,
yes.
So you were talking before how you have this goal of donating to the various military and veteran causes. What are some of the organizations that you support, and what are their missions and what do they do?
I should have pulled this list up sooner. So
no problem.
We've only been around since November of last year.
Okay. It's almost a year. Well, actually, by the time this episode comes out, it'll be over a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
So happy anniversary. A little bit early.
Well, thank you. But we have donated to organizations that... Oh, right here it is. We've donated to Combat Sexual Assault, Veteran Help Point, 22-0, Make a Vet Sweat, Visionary Veterans, 22 Mohawks, Protect Our Defenders, Vets for Success, Mighty Hero Homes, and Paws Healing Heroes. Awesome. And this month is Glass Soldiers. So a lot of organizations that help veterans with PTSD, organizations that help fight against sexual assault in the military, significant amount of that. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of PTSD type of PTSD, sexual assault.
Yeah.
And veteran help is my...
Well, and I think that the
thing I see,
those organizations are really important to support, because there is such a big problem with all of those things, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. PTSD, people are coming back, and it doesn't even have to be combat related PTSD. It could be even from the sexual assaults, like you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, there's PTSD that's involved with that as well. And luckily, I think we're starting to see attitudes shifting towards mental health. Whereas 10, 15, 20 years ago, mental health was looked at kind of as a taboo type thing. And even before that,
you get sent home for being crazy.
Yeah, exactly. and you see how people now are taking the approach where it's like, hey, we recognize that there's a problem with whatever's going on here. But it's something that we can work on, and we can address this problem so that this person is not just sent home or, kicked mm-hmm. out of the military for being crazy. They still got some fight left in them. let's try to help.
They're not broken.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
just need a little help.
They might be a little damaged, right? But they need the help to, just like, if your car is, got something squeaking going on under the hood, like, you take it to the mechanic, you get it fixed. And, it's good to go, and you can continue using it. You don't just throw the car away because it's squeaking, it's the same mindset, I think, as far as mental health goes. Actually, anything with your health, your physical health or whatever, you break a bone, like, well, you're not done forever. Like, you've broken mm-hmm. a bone. Like, okay, go get it fixed. And then, whenever that's done, you're good to go. So, these organizations, I think, the more that are popping up, the more support we're having for the mental health causes. Unfortunately, the sexual assaults and things like that are things that happen. But the more awareness that we have about it, and the more, people that are working to kind of fight against that, hopefully the more we see the tide turning on that situation as mm-hmm. well. We don't want that to continue, obviously, right? So you go through and you find all these charities. Do you do any sort of like kind of vetting on these charities to make sure that they're legit organizations, or not just some kind of fly by night organization, right?
Yes, I don't have any professional vetting that I do, but sure. I like to make sure they have like a legitimate website that I can go in and look up stuff on and see if they have like, oh, well, we've been able to do this, or we can do that. And, we helped with this, and like a tangible website. And I always, it's going to sound weird, but I make sure they're active on like Instagram.
Yeah.
Because a lot of organizations, well, they need, I don't know if it's called an EIN for a nonprofit. I can't remember, or taxpayer ID or something.
I think it's the tax. Probably. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
So every nonprofit has one, but you can have one and still not be actively working with the nonprofit.
Right.
And it's just not a thing anymore. So I always go in and I look at like when their most recent post was on like Instagram to see, oh, okay, well, this one was from 3 years ago, so we're not going to pick this up.
Sure.
It was a good cause, but I don't know if they're even a real organization anymore. So,
yeah, and sometimes, like, unfortunately, there's those people out there who are just scamming, saying that they're mm-hmm. an organization that supports fill in the blank, whatever the cause is, but they really aren't, and they're just out there to collect money and for their own well-being, and they don't really care about anybody else, and that's obviously not the type of thing that you want to support, which seems like you're mm-hmm. you're doing the work to make sure that it's not that type of organization. You mentioned Veteran Help Point earlier, and I know the folks over there, and they're great people there, so doing some good work too. So so when you started this business, was the idea basically to support veteran organizations and veteran military personnel through these kind of packages as well? Or were there other kind of ideas floating around as far as when you started this company, like what you're setting out to accomplish?
Well, I definitely wanted to do like the deployment crate. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm going to call it yet. Probably just the deployment crate.
Sure. But it works. It's simple. It tells what it is, right? I mean, that works.
Yeah. And like I mentioned before, you could go to the Next or Walmart or whatever and like get everything you need. But I'm like, how would I set this apart from just going to the store and grabbing everything? And that's when I wanted to donate a portion, because like, I'm not doing this so I can make money.
Yeah.
I want to turn around and help all of these other organizations. And especially, like, I didn't know that there were organizations that helped with any of this stuff when I was in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of it. Because some of the organizations that I pick, they're for, like, active duty people that are still in.
Yeah.
And it can be handy.
It's certainly good, yeah. And I think, to your point, there's just not enough awareness about some of these organizations and what they do and who is even eligible to receive the services that they might offer or whatever it is that they do. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know that something exists, how are you ever going to take advantage of the benefits that are out there? It could just be, you know, a simple pick up a phone and call a number and you get, you know, some sort of support on, yeah, whatever it is, fill out a form, a contact form on their website or whatever. But if you don't know that those things exist, yeah, sure, you can go Google it. But if you don't know what you're even looking for, it's exactly harder to find, I think, right? So,
yeah.
So helping support these organizations and obviously increasing funding that's going to them helps them spread the word about their message and what they're doing, right? And that's part of what I like to do with this show too, is have different organizations on the show to talk about what it is that they do. So it kind of just raises awareness. Now, however many people listen to that episode, now they get to know, hey, this is a thing that's available. And they may not need it today. They may not need it next year. But at some point they may need it. And it's like, okay, yeah, I remember listening to something about that. And now they at least know what to look for. Whether they come back to that episode and re-listen to it or they just go to Google and say, hey, I remember there was something that some organization that did this thing. I just got to find it again. And, you know, at least they have that awareness of what it is. And I think that's kind of the name of the game with a lot of this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know you were talking about the deployment crates and things like that you want to start setting up, which I think is an awesome idea. Do you have any other kind of future goals, ambitions for the company as you are looking forward?
I just want it to be well known.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want to help so many organizations, and my goal is to be like, here's $1,000 that my company raised from our customers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just that would be so cool. Because like, that's $1,000 that can go help somebody else.
Right. So. And one of the things I've noticed with the military community is like the whole concept of selfless service. Like, even after getting out of the military, we still have that kind of ingrained in us. I mean, it's part of the reason why I do this show. I'm not making millions of dollars doing this show. I'm doing this to spread awareness of things that can help people. And that's, to me, that's the biggest benefit that comes out of doing this show. But there's so many other people that are out there who have that same kind of attitude where it's like, we just want to help. Period. Like, hard stop. All we want to do is help people. We're not looking to make tons of money doing this. Obviously, you know, you got to put food on the table, so you have to make something doing whatever it is that you're doing. But people are not solely focused on the money side of things. They're looking at people. They're seeing people that are hurting, and that hurts them, and they want to to try to help fix that problem, whatever that problem mm-hmm. happens to be. And so I guess my reason for saying this is there are people out there who are hurting, who might even be listening to this, or maybe someone who's listening to this knows somebody who's hurting in one way or another. Maybe it's mental health, maybe it's financial, resources that they're struggling with, or whatever it is that they're dealing with. There are people out there who want to help you. Mm-hmm. That bottom line, there are people there. Just might take a little bit to track some of these people down, but those people do exist. They're out there and they want to help. You're not a burden on those people. They want to help, period. Right. Mm-hmm. So I guess I can step down off that soapbox for a second, but I think it's just something that needs to be, put out there, because a lot of people feel like they're that kind of a burden on other people, and it's just not the right attitude to have. Right. Mm-hmm. So, is there anything else, that you have going on, or that you want to chat about and share with the audience before we wrap up?
Well, we talked about the deployment crate, which isn't launched yet. So sure. I do want to add that I do have an Etsy and I do have a website and I have product on there.
Okay.
If you shop on Etsy, you cannot get the t-shirt. So this is the t-shirt. Those are only on my website.
Okay.
The Etsy goes directly to my roaster, my small town roaster from like 10 minutes away. And it gets shipped like directly to you from the roaster.
Oh, okay, great.
Yes, so that one goes like directly to her. And that's if you just want some coffee, I recommend you just order it on my Etsy site. I do have the t-shirts right now that are on my Shopify, my main website. Mm-hmm. And you can get shirts, you can get coffee. So there are things available now while we wait for the deployment boxes to launch.
Sure. Well, I'll have links to those in the show notes too, for folks who want to check it out, see what kind of coffee is available, and check out the shirts, all that kind of stuff. And look, if you go there, you're not only supporting a veteran owned business, you're also supporting other veteran organizations, because a portion of the proceeds are going to these veteran nonprofits and organizations that support veterans active duty, whoever it is that they're supporting, you're supporting them as well. Plus you get some good coffee to go along with it. So, I think that makes everybody feel good. And I think we should definitely be supporting that. So thank you for taking the time to join us and share all that with us.
In a startling description, the UN food chief warned the world with the words knocking on famine's door. He called what we're facing a perfect storm of a perfect storm. And he's not alone. Barron's published that a food shortage could be coming even in the U.S. And farmers see it too. John Boyd Jr., a fourth-generation farmer, told Fox News that we're going to see empty food shelves in the coming months. That's why getting survival food is more important than ever now. Create your own stockpile of the best-selling Four Patriots survival food kits. It's not ordinary food. We're talking good for 25 years super survival food. It's hand-packed in a family-owned facility in the USA, and it gives jobs to over 200 Americans. They have different delicious breakfast, lunch, and dinner options, and you can make these meals in less than 20 minutes. Just add boiling water, simmer, and serve. And right now, for the next few days, listeners of Drive On will get 10% off their first order at 4patriots.com by using code DRIVEON. Just go to 4patriots.com and use code DRIVEON to start your stockpile today.
Before we wrap up, though, I do a segment that I call Is It Service Connected? It's a bit of a humor kind of segment. So for the viewers and for yourself who may not be familiar with this particular segment, I like to equate it to like America's Funniest Home Videos, but military edition. So we take a look at a video of a service member doing something stupid, and then we try to predict whether or not whatever happened would qualify for VA disability down the line. And so it's usually a good time. Sometimes we determine it'll qualify for it. Sometimes it won't. It all depends on the individual video and the individual situation. But regardless, it's a fun time to check out. So I'm going to share my screen with you right now. So right now, for the podcast listeners who don't have the video to be able to see, looks like we have a soldier who is in a gym. Looks like he might be bouncing a basketball. It looks like it's right down by his foot right now. We're kind of frozen right now. But when I hit play, we're going to see what happens with this guy. And I'm guessing it's not going to end very well for him. He's trying to dunk off a chair, and the chair slides, and he's down on his back.
Did you see his knee?
His knee did not end in a very natural position. I'm gonna do that one more time. His knee, oh my god! Like, his foot was on his back somehow.
He definitely strained his quad. Definitely is gonna be sore.
His leg is definitely screwed up. I don't know. Maybe his hip, his knees. That was not a natural way to land at all.
His quad is definitely going to be hurting.
And I always say this for all these videos. At least they have this captured on video, because you go back and you're like, oh, well, you don't have any proof. Hang on. I do. So that guy is, I'm thinking he's probably good for a little disability coming his way, depending on how bad that landing was. That was not a very intelligent thing to be doing though. I mean, that little folding chair on looks like a concrete floor. Like, that's almost like you might as well just put it on ice at that point.
Yes.
So anyways, thank you again for taking the time to join us. Thank you for what you're doing and helping support other veterans and service members through the work that you're doing, and bringing coffee to people who are away from home is, I think, a noble effort as well. So thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you for having my company on.
Yeah, you bet.
On the podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.